I'm calling the House Transportation Committee to order. It is about 4 minutes after 1:00. And let the record show that present today are Representative Lynn, Representative Feige, Representative Gaddis, and myself, Representative Wilson. And over to my right is Nancy Hemingway, who is our House Recording Secretary. And over here is Kathleen, who is our LIO monitor. And my aide today is Becky Rooney. So before we start, please shut off your phones and at least put them on airplane mode. That really helps us a lot with when the people at home can hear. So today we're continuing on hearing House Bill 378, a driver's licensing, and also I do plan to move this bill out today unless something unforeseen comes up. And could we have DMV come forward and explain the changes to the CS? Now what we did, we listened to the concerns that came up last week and the concerns that the different people had, and we came up then by that we put those concerns and tried to clarify a few things and put them into the CS. So Amy, if you would like to state your name and affiliation and explain the changes.
For the record, Amy Erickson, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Madam Chair, are we on version O?
Yes, we will be as soon as we move it.
Okay.
Representative Feige.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the committee accept CS for House Bill 378-28-LS-1541/O as our working document.
And I object for discussion.
Okay. We have our version O before us now as our working document. And so, Amy, now you can proceed.
Madam Chair, the changes begin in Section 4, and this relates to the fees. We clarify that motorhomes used for personal and recreational use will continue to have a $100 registration fee, and that all trailers not used commercially will be $30. In Section 9, language was added so that commercial instruction permit holders will be required to be accompanied by a person that's at least 21 years old and licensed to operate that class of vehicle. In Section 10, we were addressing the concern of Representative Feige, who found the language to be confusing. So the drafter simplified it to make it clear that commercial instruction permit holders will be disqualified in the same manner as the commercial license holder if they are driving after being placed out of service and they operate a commercial motor vehicle after being placed out of service. Additionally, the language that would disqualify a driver if they were operating a commercial motor vehicle belonging to a motor carrier that's been placed out of service was removed. And this was based on some information from FMCSA, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, who thought that everything we had in the bill was sufficient and that part wasn't necessary. In Section 11, the word knowingly was added at the urging of the Alaska Truckers Association so that a driver would not be subject to civil penalties unless they knew they were operating a vehicle that it was placed out of service. And just to reiterate what I didn't probably stress enough in the last committee hearing, the consequences of decertification of the CDL program is very serious, more serious than losing federal funds. Failure to pass HB 378 would mean that DMV would be prohibited from issuing, renewing, transferring, or upgrading licenses for commercial drivers, and all CDLs would therefore be invalid.
Wow.
Probably not a good thing.
All right. Amy, would you go into on page 4 of the bill? When you made your comments, going down to line 19, that says $100, and you said 30. So can you explain that?
I'm sorry, could you repeat yourself?
Okay. On page 4,
yes,
and on line 19, but from really 17 to 19, it says a motorhome may not used or maintained for the transportation of persons or property for hire or for other commercial use and not registered in the name of a company or business is $100, but you said 30.
Oh, I misspoke that. Oh, no, trailers. I'm sorry. Trailers are $30.
Okay.
Trailers, sorry.
Okay. All right. That makes more sense. I thought, oh, my. I thought I
I may have said that, and I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. All right, that makes sense, and let the record show that Representative Kreis Tompkins has joined us. And we have before us for discussion as a working draft is our CS for House Bill number 378, version O. Okay. Representative Feige.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 2 of the bill, line 19, I guess that's paragraph 12, right? How would DMV handle the request from a construction company to license a vehicle that is not a commercial motor vehicle? If the applicant was also a commercial motor vehicle carrier that is prohibited from operating as a commercial motor vehicle carrier at the time.
Through the Chair, Representative Feige, in speaking with the Department of Transportation, we do believe that the DMV could, they may refuse to register a vehicle that is used in personal use but owned by, you know, the principal of the company, for example. Mm-hmm. But we would certainly use our discretion and work with DOT to not do that.
Not register that as a commercial vehicle?
Not refuse to register them.
Okay.
Any other follow-up, Representative?
Nope, I said fair enough.
Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none. Is there anyone online that would like, I'll open up public testimony. And maybe we might have, did we leave it open or did we close it?
No, we closed it.
Okay, so I'll open it back up. I think that we took care of most of the concerns. Is there anyone online that would like to make comments?
Madam Chairman?
Is this
Dave Thompson? This is Ayers with the Alaska Trucking Association.
Yes.
Madam Chairman, I missed just a part of this, Director Erickson's presentation. And did she address on line 1, page 9, that the word knowingly is not required at that point? And the same in line 2, page 9, the word knowingly is not required. On line 4, page 9, the word knowingly is required. And the reason for that, Madam Chairman, is that in the first two instances, the driver is present at the time of the issuance of the out-of-service order. But in the third case, the driver may not be and may not be aware of his employer's, his motor carrier employer being placed out of service.
Okay, so, Aves, just tell us what page in line does it not have to be there?
Does he have version O?
Do you have version... Do you have version O before you?
I had the working draft from yesterday or the day before. I don't have it in front of me, Madam Chair.
Was it saying
okay, up in the upper right-hand corner, does it say 28-LS1541/0?
Madam Chairman, I don't have the document with me. I'm in the airport in Minneapolis.
Oh.
That's no excuse.
So what is in here now, Aves, is what you asked for.
Okay. Then, as I say, I just missed the first part of Director Erickson's testimony, and I just want to be sure. And the only other point I'd like to make is that, as she pointed out, the consequences of decertification of the CDL program are very, very severe. Federal highway dollars can be replaced with state dollars, but DMV must be able to issue valid commercial driver's license.
Okay. And Aves, right now, it says a person who violates the standards for operating a commercial motor vehicle or who knowingly operates a commercial motor vehicle that has been placed out of service is set out by the department in regulation, blah, blah, blah. But so I think that whether it's there or isn't, we accomplish what you wanted.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Representative Gaddis might have a question.
And I didn't have a question for him, but it goes along the same line. I, too, missed
I got portions of what Aves had asked for, but I think the line one, page nine, when the director spoke, I didn't hear that speaking. Now, granted, we're on version O, and if you could tell me where we would find that, where the driver must be personally served. I missed that part, and I was checking off as she was going along on this letter from Alaska Trucking, and I just wanted to be sure and put it on record that we didn't miss it. And I think that that goes to what Aves is speaking about.
Through the chair, Representative Gaddis, for the draft O, the knowingly is inserted on page 9, line 14.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And it does say right there, an employer who knowingly allows an employee to drive in violation of an out-of-service order or in violation of a railroad highway grade crossing is subject to civil penalties. So,
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Madam Chairman, if I might interrupt, I'm concerned about the paragraphs under the disqualification of drivers. And that's up a paragraph or two.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Ms. Erickson can direct you to that. There are three instances where a driver's CDL may be disqualified. One of those is when the driver himself has been placed out of service. Second is when the vehicle has been placed out of service. And third, when the motor carrier has been placed out of service. In the first two instances, the driver would know that he's been placed out of service. In the second instance, the driver would know that the vehicle has been placed out of service. But it is possible in the third instance that the driver may not know that the employer or the motor carrier has been placed out of service by the FMCSA. And that's my concern, is we protect the driver in that third instance.
Madam Chairman, I believe what Mr. Thompson is referring to is the language that FMCSA encouraged us to remove, that it was unnecessary. So the knowingly, it won't apply in this particular line, if I'm understanding him correctly.
Okay. Sounds like, Aves, we actually took that part out so that they wouldn't have to deal with that. And now it just says driving after being placed out of service or operating a commercial vehicle that has been placed out of service in the area where it talked about in the other bill that talked about the driver would be held liable. That's gone.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman. I apologize to the committee for taking your time for something that you've already dealt with. Thank you.
Representative Feige.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, going back to that, so page 9, line 2, wouldn't we also want to have that say knowingly operating a commercial vehicle? That kind of puts it in the same language as the amendment language in section 11. It's the same principle. You don't want to guy comes up to the vehicle, he doesn't know that the vehicle's been placed out of service, but he operates it.
Okay, Amy looks like she has something that she wants to say here, so we'll...
Actually, I would really lean on Anne-Mae Goldsmith from the Department of Law to help.
Okay. Anne-Mae?
Good afternoon. Madam Chairman, my name is Anne-Mae Goldsmith. I'm with the Department of Law Civil Division, and I think I can clear up the misconception. And I promised last time that I would think about the knowingly issue and come back to you, so here I am in person.
Okay.
And if you look back at page 8, section 10... and look at paragraph A, AS 2833-140A is intended to allow DMV the authority to disqualify a driver after conviction of a list of criminal offenses. So this list of 10 things, these are all criminal offenses for which a person has already been adjudicated guilty, either because after a jury trial or person pled guilty or no contest. And it's an element of criminal due process that a person has to know that they're being charged with a crime. So they know. If you've been convicted of the offense of driving after being placed out of service, you know. So that's why knowingly is not required, because it's basically already in there, because you've been charged and found guilty of this offense.
Thank you very much. That does make sense.
And if I could make a note on the The other section where knowingly is put in, it's appropriate for knowingly to be in there on page 9, line 14, because that assesses a civil penalty. And so we're not talking about a person who's already been charged with a criminal offense. It's just a civil fine. So it is appropriate that a person has to know that they're operating a commercial motor vehicle that's been placed out of service.
Okay, thank you. And Representative Feige?
So under that subparagraph, which is subparagraph 7 out of section 10 there, does the person has been convicted within the original statute that he was convicted of, does it have something pertaining to knowingly operating something?
Representative Feige, through the chair, for all criminal offenses, there has to be a mental state. Knowingly is one of the mental states that's defined in the criminal statutes. And when an offense does not specifically identify the mental state required, there's another statute that supplies knowingly. It's sort of the default mental state. So the offense, as it's defined in statute, is something like driving after being placed out of service. But knowingly is supplied by another statute.
Okay.
So it's in a couple different places. You got to put it all together.
Kind of like
in there.
Including. Including right. Means such and such.
Representative Resnickson.
What's that?
Representative Christ Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question that relates to one of the points raised in the ATA letter, their fourth point, why use driving when throughout the rest of the bill the word operating is used. And they're specifically, ATA was specifically referring to page 9, line 1, and I'm looking at page 9, lines 1 and 2, and that's still in there. And I was wondering if that had been addressed in the CS, and because seemingly it wasn't what the rationale was.
Okay, and I just want to make a comment here. This letter is relating to version N, and we have modified that now, and we're on version O.
And Madam Chair, I'm looking at version O, and driving and operating are still included in lines 1 and 2.
Okay. Line 1 on page 9, why is the word driving used when the other paragraphs in this section use the word operating?
Representative Christ Tompkins, through the chair, driving and operating are pretty close. They're a little bit slightly different. Operating is more inclusive, but I think it's written this way just to clarify that in subsection A, we're talking about the driver who's been placed out of service, because there are three different things that an out-of-service order can apply to: the driver, the vehicle, or the motor carrier. So A refers to the driver, and B refers to the vehicle. And so I think it was written this way just to clarify that A is the driver, B is the vehicle.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Gaddis.
Through the chair, and I don't want to parse words, but on line 13, page 9, it is a person. So now we have a person who violates the standards for operating a commercial vehicle. So we have a driver, an operator, a person. You know, and I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but, I mean, you're the legal person, so I guess they all mean the same to me, so I understand it.
Okay, and let the record show that Representative Isaacson has joined us, and Representative Feige.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a person would allow you to go after the corporation that owns the vehicle, correct?
Representative Feige, through the chair, yes, that's correct. Person is all-inclusive of natural persons, corporations, companies, partnerships, etc.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Now,
Chair, would you like me to remove my objection?
I would, but just wait a second, because do we still need to get that 2B in there?
Mm-hmm. And that was we'll adopt it as a working document, then we can amend it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Remove your
objection. Yeah, I remove my objection to version O.
Okay. So now we have version O. It is our working document. And Representative Feige, you had a comment. Do we have other amendments? Has everyone have an amendment?
Yes, David passed out.
Okay.
Okay, Madam Chair, I would like to move amendment number 1, 28-LS1541/O.1.
And I'll object for discussion purposes. I'm not exactly sure what it does.
Okay. We have an objection, and Representative Foggy, can you state what you want this amendment to do?
I believe I can, Madam Chair. On page 4, the line 2, basically it lists currently, it lists the three categories that are exempted from registration if you're older than 65. So these exemptions apply to people 65 years or older. And as it's currently written, passenger vehicles, motorcycles, and a trailer are included. The amendment would also include a motorhome so that folks 65 years or older would be able to exempt a motorhome from registration.
Okay. So you're inserting B2, which would be lines,
which basically would include the paragraph that is on line 17 of page 4.
Chair, should I do a conflict of interest?
I think I could.
We still have enough votes to pass it.
Okay. Does everyone understand what that does then?
I understand it, and I'll remove my objection. Thank you.
Any other comments? The objection has been removed, and amendment number 1 has passed. All right. What is the will of the committee? We've had this. This is the second time we've had it in committee. I think we all understand it a little bit better now. Thank you very much. Oh, yes, I want to close public testimony.
Madam Chair, I move CSHB 378-LS1541/O. As amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached 0 fiscal notes.
Hearing no objections, so moved. Thank you very much. And do we have anything for next week, Becky? Okay. We will be meeting on Tuesday to hear House Bill 314, which is passenger vehicle rental taxes, so please bring your materials for that, and we will have a CS. So we will adjourn.